because he's got a job now.
Oh.
Can't make ice cream. He's going to stay at home and make ice cream for all of his pals.
Yeah.
He's never going to get to go to the water park. Anyway.
Did I not go to the water park with you? Surely I didn't agree to do that.
I've never been to a water park in this country, and I never will. That's disgusting.
Do they even have water parks here?
Yeah, sure. They absolutely do.
Okay.
They have them everywhere.
I suppose. I've only been to a water park a couple of times, and that was in America.
Did you ever go to SeaWorld?
Yes, I did.
Same.
I went to SeaWorld a few times.
Have I told this SeaWorld anecdote?
We've talked about this.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. For more on that, listen back.
Did we talk about it on the podcast?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Neelix is an ambassador, blah, 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 blah. They go to the Kazad homework. Neelix and Tuvok are together again. And Neelix, they're on their way back to Voyager or whatever, and it's gonna take a little time, and Neelix is like, let's play 21 questions, which in his mind is 15 questions.
Yep. So,
then Neelix is like, do you want to hear a riddle? And Tuvok's like, no, but I know you're gonna do it anyway. And the setup for this whole episode is a lone ensign finds himself stranded on a planet with only a calendar, and Starfleet finds him a year later, and he's totally fine. And I was like, he definitely ate the calendar. And then Neelix is like, he ate the dates from the calendar, which I think would just give me the runs. But shout out to this ensign.
Just eating only dates for a year.
Yeah, Tuvok doesn't care for puns.
No, he sure doesn't. And neither do I.
No.
That's not true.
And then they have some alone time where they split up on the Delta Flyer. I didn't realize it was so spacious, but
Neelix,
here we are.
Neelix and Tuvok's alone special time.
Yeah.
Not together special time. Away from each other special time.
And then there's like a download in progress, and there's like a whole thing, and then Tuvok gets zapped. And that's our cold open.
Skip intro.
I'm extremely paranoid and xenophobic, Sam Hickman.
And I'm unexplained phenomenon, Kat Deerfield.
Oh, and this is...
Women talking about Star Trek Voyager. It's Kat and it's Sam. They are two friends. Women,
women talking about Star Trek Voyager.
It's time that we start the show.
Space is sexy, space is scary. Come on, let's go.
So, turns out there's this guy, and he's here to tell us all about the Beneth, the maybe imaginary creatures that we think attacked Tuvok.
Yeah.
And this guy is super into the Beneth.
Oh, he loves
it. He's so into the Beneth.
It's his Roman Empire, as the girlies say. Bestie, it's his.
What's your Roman Empire?
Oh, that's a good question. What's yours? Let me think for a second.
I mean, mine might be how much I hate pot noodle, but...
Oh.
And just like how bad pot noodle is compared to...
But you love instant ramen. Oh,
I do.
But you hate pot noodle. Yes. You know what? I had a pot noodle recently. Disgusting. I stand with that.
And they're so expensive.
They're so expensive.
This is a real sticking point for me.
That's very valid.
Thank you. I shouldn't.
Is this like a UK culture thing, though?
I think so. And they're manufactured in Caerphilly, and I don't want to take jobs away from the local area. So I don't listen to me.
For the sake of the podcast, great. You love pot noodles.
I love pot noodle.
Duin hoffi pot noodle. Yeah. Noodle in a pot.
Blasis.
Mm.
I'm not a fan. I think the
Dim Diflas.
Dim Diflas. Dim off Nadway.
Yeah, baby. Did I tell you I've been asked to play the Eisteddfod?
No.
Oh.
Welsh woman.
Gwyn.
Cymrice Sam Hickman.
And a Telen Techas.
I mean, you literally are a Welsh woman. I shouldn't give you a hard time about
not
you. Being.
It's called having heritage.
You just have a wild accent.
I just have a wild, but I think I'm going to put one on for the Eisteddfod, so that's fine.
That's a bad idea. Don't do that.
Great idea. I think it's like really part of my narrative to be like more deceptive, you know? Anyway, so that's going to be great.
That's exciting, though. I'm sorry for making fun.
I mean, no, I think you were as supportive as you could have been under the circumstances. I only had a couple of things.
Okay.
For my opening tangent, I'm thinking that I should get an air fryer, mainly because I ate fish fingers that I microwaved today.
Oh.
You can technically do it, it's just not good.
No, that must not be good.
They did come out slightly cold, but I thought to myself, you know what, I have a good 2 weeks off. I can afford to take the time.
So is your thought about the air fryer that it would be cheaper to run than the oven?
I think it would be just quicker and easier.
Than the oven.
Okay. Because my oven takes forever to preheat.
Yeah, okay.
And I can only use, like, the bottom one because the top one, like, is like, kind of garbage. And sometimes it doesn't turn off.
How much do... That's bad.
Sometimes it doesn't turn off. Yeah.
How much does an air fryer cost, though?
Like, £40.
Oh, okay, never mind.
They're not
that. I just assumed
they're
not expensive.
No,
I was just
going to
say, like, maybe just replace your broken oven. But, no, if they're £40, then...
But also, I'm thinking, like, scale-wise, because
yeah.
I'm famously a single woman living in the city.
Yeah.
I'm like, that seems like a normal, like, portion for your old friend Sam.
That does make sense. I'm quite skeptical of the air fryer because
it does seem
to just be an oven.
Yeah.
But you have just made two very valid points about its usefulness to you. And it probably is relatively cheap to run.
Mm. Yeah. Well, like, we had this discussion.
Do you have a gas oven?
No.
Okay.
Surprisingly enough, no. In this household, who knows? A second thing, apparently I snore. Recently discovered this.
Yeah.
Traumatizing moment when a man did an impression of me snoring.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Back to me.
I'm so sorry.
He didn't say, ha, it's cute. He said, it's kind of like high-pitched and whiny. and then he did like a Maria Bamford plug, but like up several octaves. He's like.
Oh. I'm sorry, Sam.
So that's great.
I have the wonderful, unique distinction of not so much snoring as moaning in my sleep. I seem to only...
Alluring. And that's how you got your husband.
Yeah. I didn't do it when we got together. It's something that's developed over time.
Oh,
lucky him.
Well, lucky man.
Lucky him. But yeah, sometimes I wake myself up doing it and it's like...
Ooh. Do you shake as well? Apparently I shake when I'm getting
to
sleep. Shake violently when I'm getting to sleep, which explains a lot.
What does it explain?
Just like my inability to properly get to sleep.
Oh yeah.
I imagine if I'm shaking constantly that I'm kind of keeping myself awake
Yeah, that's very strange. Is it like the sleep jerk? Like when
I imagine, but like a lot of it.
Oh no.
Like an ungodly amount of it.
Have you considered talking to a doctor about your difficulty sleeping? You love it when I ask you if you've considered talking to a doctor about your many maladies.
Absolutely.
It's your favorite
not.
Thing is when I'm like, have you thought about talking to a doctor about that?
Who would I speak to? Wait, what other maladies? I think I'm pretty okay otherwise.
You are. What if I said that to you about?
The weird ringing in my right ear. But weirdly enough, only when I'm sleepy and singing. Isn't that bizarre?
That's interesting.
And only in certain circumstances, like certain acoustics.
Interesting.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Mm.
I think
it's like a tension thing, and I think I'm just sleeping on this side of my head.
I think that makes sense. I was going to... I think that the thing that I've said to you before about going to the doctor about is your heartburn.
Oh, that resolved.
Oh, I'm so pleased.
That resolved.
But also, you have talked to a doctor about it in the past.
Yeah, and she was like, we can give you Gaviscon. And I was like, oh,
thanks.
Okay, interesting.
Gaviscon does work for me, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it did, but I was kind of like, this does not seem good because there is a lump on my esophagus.
Oh really?
Yeah, it was like really bad for it was like there was like a ring.
Oh,
that was like protruding. It was horrible. Anyway, the if you're looking for a solution for heartburn, just eat the same time every day.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's and also incredibly early. Dinner is at 5 p.m.
Oh yeah. See, I think this is a very individual thing though, because I get heart... Wow, nobody wants to hear this.
Yes, they do.
If
I know anything about our Meredith...
They're not here to hear about Star Trek Voyager.
They are as interested in learning about new ways in which they can improve their physical and mental health as they are interested in hearing about us talk about Season 6, Episode 6...
Riddles. I get heartburn when I get too hungry.
Interesting.
And I get into, I mean, I think in general my heartburn is stress related more than anything else.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I am currently in a terrible cycle of heartburn and indigestion, which I think was just brought on by, I don't know, who knows, having a bad night's sleep. But it definitely does happen when I don't eat enough and then try to like get back to eating normally. And it also happens. So like if I let myself get too hungry before bed, I will get heartburn.
You're going to have to start weighing your food.
I think that's probably that
like
way.
A cat.
That way, nothing good lies for me or anyone. But I'm very disappointed though because I thought I had cracked I thought I had cracked the perfect breakfast that never gave me heartburn, and this week it's given me heartburn 2 days in a row.
What is the perfect breakfast?
My perfect breakfast sounds so
Thank
sad.
God. This is opening tangent fodder, so...
I started doing this because I had multiple dental surgeries. Thank you.
Yes, well
Thank
done.
You. Multiple non-cosmetic dental surgeries.
And you look incredible.
Thank you. Not cosmetic. The first surgery...
And that's why you changed your hair.
To hide the
facelift.
The teeth that look... Well, I had a denture for a while, so my teeth have looked like this for a while.
Glamorous show business teeth.
The first surgeon I was referred to refused to do anything because he was like, I couldn't possibly because it wouldn't look right. So what this is like specifically non-cosmetic dental surgery.
Wow.
He said it was medically impossible. And then I went to this surgeon and he was like, no, it's not.
Some people don't want the hassle.
Yeah.
Some people want easy breezy cover girl work.
He told me I needed to have braces to move my teeth apart. First, and
this.
Then yeah, it was a whole thing. It was going to be like £14,000. It's like, I don't know about that. Anyway, so I didn't eat solid food for a while, and this was my like breakfast to deal with that. But then
I remember
I was
your
like,
soup girl face.
Oh, but I'm getting through the mornings without getting heartburn or hungry.
Oh.
And it's a smoothie made out of a banana and oat milk and protein powder and flax seeds and peanut butter.
Ugh. Are you having it with caffeine? You
yes.
Coffee? That might be it.
Not coffee, but tea.
Oh.
Yeah. I get heartburn when I eat whole grains for breakfast. And things that don't give me heartburn for breakfast, bacon sandwiches.
Oh.
Brioche rolls.
Oh.
Coffee.
Oh, interesting.
Lots of dairy milk. Like these
we
are
the literal opposite
yeah.
ends.
Well, you're like a normal person who gets heartburn from normal things.
Love that.
I get heartburn from whole grains and carrots. Just like, I don't know why I'm like this.
Heartburn or indigestion for our UK listeners.
Yes.
Who are baffled by this whole conversation.
They are weirded out by heartburn. But then Gaviscon says it's for heartburn and indigestion. So I'm
yeah.
like, it's a concept you have here. What is indigestion?
No.
I don't
it's
really know.
It's the same thing.
It's the same
a different
thing.
Name
okay.
for the same thing.
I guess heartburn can be like sharply painful in
yeah.
your chest. Which I guess I don't always experience that with what
no.
I refer to as heartburn. Boy, I hope you're enjoying this, Meredith.
Tuvok has neurological trauma from an alien weapon. Neelix didn't see the guy, so he totally knows something. And they get back to the people, and then they get, like, that guy comes in, and he's like, oh boy, I love the Ben F. and they're always trying to...
He sure loves the Ben F.
He does. They really got, like, they got assigned a real kook to help him out with this. In sick bay, Neelix, go to bed.
Neelix feels bad.
He does it while you were sleeping.
Yeah. He feels bad, so I've written, he wafts some flowers at Tuvok.
Oh my god, he's like, what if I lit some incense?
Yeah, so he's burned some candles and incense in sick bay, which I'm sure is a great idea.
Great idea. He's bringing in lilies. He's doing it. He's like, play some chant. I once had a CD. Interesting deep dive into my childhood.
Yes,
I once
please.
Had a CD of Gregorian chants.
Of course you did.
I think I played it far more times than a normal child would.
It was part of your musical education.
I had a real great time with it. Anyway, Tuvok wakes up and he's scared.
My mom went through a real Tibetan throat singing phase when I was a kid.
Not a surprise for me.
No, I feel like a lot of people
that tracks.
Did. Also, she dated someone who did Tibetan throat singing. It was weird. He used to do it in the car. It was very loud. Anyway.
how is it?
I mean, what's the name for it? It's where you're, it's like die something because it's too.
Dichordal.
Yeah.
Where you want to get like the, like polyphonic singing.
Polyphonic. Know? That's what it is. Yes.
Remember that time I was trying to do whistle pitch?
Yeah.
That was a real fun like 2.5 weeks. I learned absolutely nothing about my voice.
I used to try to do metal screaming, but I never really succeeded.
Aww.
I've just settled with the vocal fry.
On the Delta Flyer, Janeway, Seven, and the guy, they find stuff and they take a little picture of what the Benef would look like because they left particle trails. And so they take a little picture. And then in sickbay, Tuvok is getting a new brain. Lucky. And Tuvok brings... So, like, his brain has been completely wiped and it's, like, reconstructing itself or whatever. Neelix brings Tuvok to the bridge and he, like, presses some buttons or whatever. And then Neelix brings Tuvok to his quarters. There's, like, a whole thing. This episode is largely just filler. There could have been a B plot at any point. They just chose not to.
You're right. There's no B plot in this episode.
There's
no B plot.
Like, there's a pretend one with this guy and, like, Janeway and everything, but it's still just
it's the A plot. Yeah, that's
interesting.
With
other characters.
That's an interesting formal point.
Like, what were Harry and Tom doing? Kissing?
Yeah, probably.
Neelix takes Tuvok to his quarters.
Was Polana even in this episode?
No, of course not. In Astrometrics, they are ready to try to decloak a ship, and they send out, like, a little flash to decloak a ship, and there's a ship, and there's a lot of ship.
I think we missed that Tuvok woke up.
No, because he went to the bridge. How do you think he got to the bridge? He woke up and he
was
scared.
I'm sorry. I'm listening.
Yeah, there was a whole thing about Gregorian chants halfway through.
That did knock me up. Do you know that I was in the shower yesterday?
Okay.
And
well done.
I mean
conquering your fear. Alone? That's brave.
I was extremely tired yesterday, and I had a shower in the nighttime, and I was very, very tired. And
living on the edge.
I put shampoo in my hair, and I thought, wow, this is really lathering, like, really well. And then I started to apply cleansing to my body. What a strange way of saying that.
Cleansing milk.
And as soon as I started doing it, I was like, I've already done this. I got to the end of my shower process and started over.
Oh, that's called a double cleanse. It's very hip now.
Oh, yes, it is. Oh, I was double cleansing.
Yeah,
I was
double,
just double cleansing. I told Rob and he was like, that's a spa experience. I was like, you're right.
Aesthetic.
I'm not just losing my mind. No, it's because the water went cold for a second.
Oh, and that's
and
the reset.
It just reset my brain and I started over.
Lucky.
I forgot what had happened.
It's probably for the best. That's phenomenal. I can't remember the last time I did anything weird in a shower alone. Anyway, they do a space chase. Voyager really is like a toddler playing with a baby because they're like this giant ship chasing this little and they're like, come back here. Tuvok does words. They get an update. Seven and Tuvok goes to talk to mommy. Tim Russ barely gets to actually act on this show, so it's a nice change to see him like doing emotions.
I love Tim Russ so much. I know no one who listens to this is going to be surprised by that because I'm always like very excited when he does things because he's such a good actor. And it is nice to see him doing things, even though I, spoiler alert, kind of hate this episode. But
yeah, it's a weird one.
But you're right. I mean, it is great.
They really should have like lined him up with Tom Paris because I think by the end they have such similar like nonsense bro vibes.
Yeah, actually, that's interesting. Well, I wouldn't like that though. I think
no one would
sort of do prefer Neelix to Tom Paris.
Yes,
even though I complain more about Neelix.
Yeah, well, I mean, Neelix has had more experience taking care of children.
That's true.
So
that's true.
Tuvok gets to Google himself and he's like, wow, I really did a lot. Oh boy.
Do you ever Google yourself?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time, constantly. Those other Sam Hickmans don't stand a chance. One's a divorce lawyer. The other one was in Billy Elliot.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, constantly.
You could just pretend that you were in Billy Elliot. But
I could. I could. Electricity.
I think, wasn't there like an American musician as well?
Who?
Sam Hickman. Like, isn't there a Sam Hickman who's an American musician? Did I imagine that?
You're looking at her. Yeehaw.
Oh, yeah, you are American.
Sometimes.
And Ensign Hickman.
Ensign Hick.
What was my point? Who knows? Who cares?
Anyway, there's a Seven and a Neelix scene. That's all I have. Tuvok makes a flower in sickbay. And he gives it to Neelix. He has learned the true meaning of friendship. That's what the nebula is this episode.
Oh, definitely.
Tuvok goes to the kitchen, and we have a real Spotted in the Kitchen revival. Did you not make any? Let's do it just for playing the theme tune. We got it.
Some ginger root spray painted golden, carrots glued to potatoes, plums and figs and jackfruit to a bone china cup with a rose. Let's all chat, say, hey, what's that? It's Spotted in the Kitchen with Kat.
Spotted in the Kitchen. There was a bowl of plantains.
Yeah, I'm so sorry that I didn't write this down.
This is your only bit.
I know, I forgot again.
And we get it so infrequently nowadays.
The first one sort of looked like lamb chops, bone-in lamb chops with just like squirty cream on it. Also, how horrible is it that British people call aerosol whipped cream squirty cream? It's
squirty
disgusting.
Squirty cream.
And I just said it without even questioning it.
Squirty cream. I know you've assimilated now. Resistance is useless, isn't it?
Resistance is useless, isn't it?
Futile.
Futile.
Wait, what do the Borg say?
Resistance is futile.
Oh, there you go.
Resistance is futile.
Futile.
I can't do an
accent. What is that, in the middle of Lidl?
Oh my god, the middle of Lidl.
Oh my god, I completed the Lidl Plus app this month.
What do you mean you completed the Lidl Plus app?
Okay.
What does that mean?
So they have like different little stupid... Okay, the Lidl Plus app. We have time for this,
do we?
Oh
yeah, we do.
Okay,
we do. Great. It's 5:45. We're
Thank
fine.
Thank god. So the Lidl Plus app, for those not in the know, for our international Lidl listeners, there's a supermarket called Lidl and they have an app that you just scan.
I've never used the app.
I wouldn't. It is the literal digital embodiment of bread and circuses, but only the bread. So if you spend over £50 in a month, they give you a free coupon for something like free from the bakery section, which I always just buy a loaf of bread. And so like if you do that, they give you that. And then if you spend like 100 or something, you get like one free. It's always something garbage. It's always like, you want a tub of ice cream? Sure, have a tub of ice cream. It's never like you want a punnet of tomatoes.
I would love a tub of ice cream.
Okay. Well, there you go. Something to aim for. And then like because
I don't live close enough to a Lidl.
Trans Singers was doing a concert and we bought a bunch of like refreshments and everything. I scanned my little voucher thing, so I had like a shit ton of money, like receipt and everything on there. So if you spend £250, they give you a 10% discount on your next shop.
Wow.
And so I have completed
I see what you mean.
I've done it. I've nailed it. But it just means that I get to do a big shop at some point next week. Once all of my bills have come out. Oh boy, first of the month tomorrow. Happy loop year.
Happy leap yeep.
Happy loop doop.
Have you ever seen It's a Leap Yeep? It's a newspaper clipping from like the 1930s. Oh. And it just is a typo. It says, it's a leap yeep.
Fun.
I love it.
Anyway,
happy leap yeep.
Where were we going with this?
No idea. I have heartburn right now.
This is
for some insight into...
Do you want... I have like antacids in my...
No, I'll be all right.
In my gig bag. I've cleared out the rotting easy peelers that were in there.
That's good.
Thank
oh,
you.
Well,
I did that before I went to the gig last week, so I'm really considerate.
Good.
Anyway, Janeway comes in to probe and she's like, oh, do you remember what happened to you, Tuvok? And he's like, I don't know. And then he's like piping a cake and then he pipes the cloaking frequency onto the cake.
Yeah.
And then why are they chasing these people who don't want to be seen was the next big question, because I missed the scene where they figure out that like
they're trying to get information so they can quote unquote fix Tuvok.
Yeah because you gotta be fixed like a dog. They find a space outpost and they do a big flashy thing or whatever. And then they have like a whole bridge scene where they strike up a deal with the Benef and the doctor comes up with the treatment. And then there's a very, very, very long scene between Neelix and Tuvok where Tuvok wants to go to a water park.
No, he wants to go to Risa, the sex planet, with Neelix. Which I was like, what? I think that's maybe a...
Was there not a water park in there as well?
Yeah, no, it is. He wants to go to the water park. I'm just being rude.
That's funny. That's funny. She delivered him the just the flattest.
You love to do that. You're welcome. Also, Tuvok is listening to, quote, a selection from Tom's jazz database. It really swings.
Yeah, of course it does. Those cats are cooking. He's truly like, I wish I never drew that picture. It's an incredibly long scene.
Yeah.
I was distracted for most of it. I was looking around. I was, you know, I had just finished my lunch. I was having that period where I get really chilly after I eat. And
Did you watch it today?
Yes, I did.
Of course you did. I knew that.
At lunchtime. In sickbay, they try to fix Tuvok, and they did. The operation works, and in the mess hall, Neelix has lost his little buddy. But then we get a nice little bit where Tuvok is like, you know, the ensign on that planet from the riddle at the beginning, he could have survived by eating the sundaes. And then he's like, that doesn't sound logical. And then the other one goes, no, it doesn't. End of episode. Wow.
Should we do some segments?
Let's do some little segments.
Wow, we were still on our opening tangent at 13 minutes in, and it's not been much longer than that.
Hey, sometimes we are talking about the material that we are given.
Yeah.
And I think this episode is it important to develop the characters? Sure. Does it give us insight into these two characters and how they've progressed throughout the last six seasons? Yes, they seem to like each other a lot more now.
Yeah.
Was it an interesting and enjoyable episode to watch? No.
No.
No. Did I have really fun? No. Did I watch this at 1.5 speed? Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And it's still dragged, which is a real testament to everything.
Okay.
Anyway, should we get into some segments?
Let's get into some segments.
Wigs.
Wigs.
I clapped this time, and it's very small.
So a little teeny tiny clap. I'm so delicate. You're so petite.
I just can't get my little hands to... Oh, no, I'll tell you about that later. Wigs.
I wonder.
Wigs.
Wigs.
Any wigs you want to...
No, we had an
did
alien.
Did you enjoy Tuvok's, like, relaxed, patient look?
I did, actually.
He looked... It had a very, like, Katharine Hepburn vibe.
I can't say that I noticed that, but sure.
It just had a very, like, boxy jacket feel. Oh, yeah. But also, like, a very relaxed drape boxy jacket.
Speaking of Katharine Hepburn, yes? I've acquired some wide leg trousers.
Oh, look at you.
I'm trying to figure out how to wear them.
On your legs.
Thank you. Well, we've sorted that out.
With a belt, maybe. What are you going to do? A loose-fitting blouse over the top?
I don't know.
Tuck it in?
They were a staple in my wardrobe for a long time. I haven't had a pair for a long time. And now I've found a pair that I like. But now I'm like, what the fuck do I do with these? Because I don't dress up that much. I tend to dress quite casually. And I'm afraid if I...
You dress up for yourself.
I got to figure out how to dress them down, though, because I like looking casual. But I'm afraid if I tuck in a graphic tee to a pair of wide-leg, high-waisted trousers, that I'm not going to be able to pull that off. But I'm overthinking it, for sure.
I feel like... And this is going to be... this is going to be an absolute scathing indictment of the city in which we live in. I feel like nobody in this town knows how to dress properly, so I don't think anyone will care.
You've
seen the people on the streets. They look bad.
I think that Cardiff is a very unpretentious city with...
You think it's unpretentious?
Yeah.
I think these people are picking these outfits, and I think the outfits are uninspired and terrible.
I think that
as somebody
it's a casual
who sits on the
city,
street and watches people...
That's true. You do.
Everybody looks bad, and they all look the same.
I would say that the style these days is very homogenous for the most part.
Unbelievable.
Which I do take note of.
Big pants, little shirt.
Yeah. And the 90% of the
you
men...
You want a black puffer jacket?
Yeah, 90% of the men in the city are wearing precisely the same three items of clothing.
Yeah.
It's the gray sweatpants, the black sweatpants, and the black puffer jacket.
Do you think...
And everyone else is also wearing a black puffer jacket.
I saw a man in gray sweatpants today, and I genuinely thought to myself, is that like a performative marker of gender?
I think it is.
Like,
do
they now have to do that? Is it like learning to play guitar?
Did I tell you about the time? Sorry, that...
Thank you.
The penny didn't drop.
I've been holding on to that one for months, waiting to use it.
I'm so sorry that I talked over you, but did I tell you about
the
time that I was walking to your house?
Okay.
I think I may have not remembered to tell you this.
You may have blacked it out.
That I got distracted by a young woman who was wearing a pair of sweatpants that said across the crotch, "Stop staring at my dick."
Oh, that's fun.
She looked like maybe 17, 18 years old.
Great,
like,
attitude.
What a look. I love it.
Incredible. Did she steal them from her boyfriend? Or is this like...
I don't know.
Trans signaling.
I really don't know. I was here for it.
Did she have them on backwards?
I mean, would they make sweatpants that said "stop staring at my dick" on the ass?
On the butt? I don't know. Are you leaning over a lot? Sometimes they like swing back.
They do. They can swing back.
Those penises, they are so pesky.
So, I mean, I think she was doing a great job.
You think she was really making a statement?
She's wearing like a full face of makeup.
Of course.
Of course.
In this neighborhood, you can't not.
Yeah, that. I mean, that's interesting. I think that is something that
lashes
wasn't...
and a dry robe only.
God, there's so many dry robes.
So many dry
why
robes.
Why does everybody have a dry robe?
I don't know. Why are they not that humiliated?
So everyone we know does cold water swimming. Yes. But like, does everyone do cold water swimming?
No, people have just... It's more of a sign of the economic downturn and how expensive it is to heat your home that everybody has a dry robe.
That does make sense. I just
and then
I
it's
didn't...
the normalization of casual clothing from the pandemic that makes them feel like they can wear
that.
A dry robe out of the house.
I also did not know what a dry robe was until I became friends with people who do cold water swimming.
Yeah.
So like it never occurred to me that anyone would actually have one without doing that sport, because like how do you even know these things exist?
They're fashion now.
Yeah, they are.
They're fashion
for
now.
People who just want to be a triangle.
Anyway, this has been Fashion Corner from Sam and Kat, two of the most well-dressed people you've ever met.
Sam, can I tell them what you're wearing right now?
No. I'm technically...
I mean, unlike normally when we record, you don't have curlers in your hair.
Yeah, I'm going somewhere after this. I'm actually on the last day of my set, so my fringe is disgusting.
Are you wearing a full set of clothes underneath this dressing gown?
I'm wearing my leaving the house clothes.
You're wearing that. I mean, that is a beautiful tartan.
Thank you.
And I'm not sure I've seen this pinafore dress before.
Oh, I hate it.
I think it's gorgeous.
I've realized how kind of like impractical it is, because it is like... not enough volume on the skirt, because it's a kilt that I turned into something that the audience at home can't see, but it's green, everybody.
It's a beautiful, beautiful green tartan with like a, it's like some tan.
Oh, and then the bodice is really interesting, because it's like all one piece.
Oh,
and it goes like all the way around and it joins in the back.
That's clever.
Yeah, and then it like...
It's lovely. The garment you're wearing over it is...
It's my house
completely...
coat.
Insane.
Thank you. Oh my god, thank you. That's called fashion.
It's a voluminous dressing gown made out of five kilts.
I think five.
With a silk lining and a floral
shawl collar. It's not a silk lining.
Collar.
It's a cotton sateen.
A
thank
cotton
you.
Sateen
there
lining.
There is a pocket for my hot water
an
bottle.
An internal hot water bottle pocket, which is also made out of the floral fabric that the shawl collar is. The rest of the fabric is the five tartan kilts.
Yes.
And it has leg of mutton sleeves.
Yes. So I can... And
and
the
a brooch.
Sleeves are poppered, so I can roll
the
them up when I'm cleaning.
The sleeves are poppered so that you can roll them up when you're cleaning. Your
and
leg
cooking.
Of mutton sleeves.
Thank you.
Leg of mutton.
So
and there's a brooch on
it.
There's a brooch on it, because of course there's a brooch on your nightwear.
It's great vine leaf. I love vines.
And you make your own wine.
And I do make
famously.
My own wine. Chateau Hickman.
Anyway, I'm wearing black sweatpants.
Yeah, you look
and
like
a black
theater
fleece
tech.
Pullover.
I don't want to say anything.
I'm also wearing the most disgusting socks that I own.
Oh, what's wrong with them?
They look dirty and they're not. It's just because they're so pilled.
Oh, honey.
They're like super thermal socks that I don't normally wear out the house, but I forgot that I was wearing them in my haste to get over here only 4 minutes late. 4 minutes late.
It's not like we have to be anywhere after this.
You do.
Well, I mean,
that's why you don't have your hair in curlers. Yeah.
And I'm still in a full face of makeup. Thank you.
You are always in a full face of makeup when I come over.
That's not true. Sometimes I'm not.
Lately, you have been.
Wow, look at me. The most glamorous woman you've ever met.
You are.
Anyway, I mean, we hate how people dress, but we love how we dress.
I don't hate how people dress, and you do hate how I dress.
I support you, and I like how there's always a theme, you know? The theme is black, sometimes with a color.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that color mustard yellow? Yes.
Sometimes it's green.
Should we get into another segment?
Do you think
a nebula?
Stay out of the nebula.
Wait, should we have clapped at the same time? Would that be?
Nah.
This is a real inside baseball thing. Hey, listener Meredith, we clapped so that we know when to insert the clips for
no one needs
themes.
To know that.
Yeah, but I feel like we talk about it so much. If they aren't like, you know, audio engineers like we are, they might not know these things.
Right. What was the nebula in this
episode?
The
nebula was learning the true power of friendship.
I've written it's the concept of the self.
Oh, okay. You want to expand on that?
No.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
No, but like, yeah, because the version of Tuvok that briefly appears has to die so that original Tuvok can come back. It's almost like this is a theme that we've already explored through the characters of Tuvok and Neelix
before. Oh my god, it's Tuvix. It's Tuvix part two.
It's essentially Tuvix part two Electric Boogaloo.
Oh. And there were also flowers in this, so.
I think I would prefer this episode to Tuvix, though.
Yeah, sure.
It is bittersweet, but at least no one actually, like, literally gets murdered.
Yeah. It's probably for the best.
In general.
How would you rate this episode?
I'd rate this episode 3.5 out of 5 souffles.
Wow.
I think there's something sort of off about this episode's rhythm is what I've written.
It's an incredibly weird, like, there are some very, very long scenes and some incredibly short scenes, and there's no B-plot. There's nothing else happening.
I didn't identify that there was no B-plot. I think that is part of why it felt weird, but I wrote that I feel like the guy helping them was sort of a red herring, and then I wrote, maybe we were just supposed to see it as a redemption arc, that he learns that Tuvok's life is more important than his personal mission to catch the mysterious Benef.
But like, what does he learn?
This is how I feel. I'm like, he doesn't really learn anything.
No, of course not.
I found that.
Does he make
odd.
A friend? I don't know. We don't
see these
people.
He just disappears at the end.
We don't have any of this. Like, there's no real closure.
There was something about it that didn't, there wasn't closure. Yeah, there's something about it that felt odd to me. And I kind of focused on that character where I was just like.
He like traded his little camera.
Yeah. I think it is sort of a redemption arc, but yeah, I don't know. It didn't quite work for me. What would you rate this episode?
1 out of 10.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I hated it.
Oh.
I didn't have a good time.
Oh, no.
But I did get through it, so that's why it has a 1. for friendship, you
for
know.
For friendship.
I like that we got to see the inside of the Delta Flyer.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't seen that in such a long time.
Yeah.
Didn't realize how spacious it was. So there you go.
There we go.
Anything to plug?
No.
While we're wrapping up.
You've got lots to plug.
Yes. When did this come out?
15th of March.
What is a podcast celebrity that we can say when does this come out? Remember when we used to do that?
I do remember we used to do that. This comes out on the 15th of March.
Wow. Shashir Zameda, when does this come out? well, if you're lucky enough to be the person whose wedding I'm playing this today, happy wedding day. And if you're lucky enough to be the person whose event I'm playing tomorrow, happy event. And if you're lucky enough to be the woman whose wedding I'm playing the next week, happy wedding. and if you're lucky enough to be a person alive on the 31st of March, happy British summertime. what the hell do I have coming up? On the 6th of May, I have a doctor's appointment on the 9th, by the way.
Exciting.
On the 6th of May. Oh, and you have your half birthday on the 18th
I
of
do.
May.
I do. It's sweet that's in your calendar.
You're welcome. On the 6th of May, you and, 9 other people could join me, Sam Hickman, and potentially my friend Laura, who might be coming down from London for it, At the Brighton Fringe. You know where Brighton is. On the 6th of May, I am doing Sexy Rude Harp Concert at 8 p.m. at the Ironworks Studios in Studio C as part of the Brighton Fringe. Tickets are £10. Here's a fun little fact for you. I thought they were 2-for-1 because it said friends get 2-for-1. And what it meant to say was friends of the Brighton Fringe get 2-for-1, which is their little membership program. So if you are a friend of the Brighton Fringe, they're 2-for-1. If I'd have known that there were going to be so many comp tickets, I would have put the comp tickets at much cheaper because it's a lot of comps. Oh. But I just followed what everybody else in the venue was charging. So tickets are £10 or £7.50 if you're a comp. So
okay,
there you go. There's also group discounts if you have any friends. Anyway, the Brighton Fringe on the 6th of
May. That's so exciting. Go see Sam if you can get to Brighton.
Potentially new dates for the summer tour to be announced. I'm
exciting.
I'm really going at it at the exciting. Idea that this is going to be a summer tour.
You are going to have a summer tour. It's very exciting.
I don't think so, but okay, there we go.
You already are having a summer tour. You're playing a show in Brighton and you don't live there.
I don't live there, and 9 people have bought tickets already.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm absolutely hemorrhaging money on this project. Absolutely. Like, there's
so go see Sam at the Brighton Fringe.
There's no way I'm making any of it back. Like,
also, yes. I forgot. I don't know why I'm plugging this because I won't be singing in it. But
is it the Songbirds concert?
Yeah, the Songbirds concert is on the 27th of April. Songbirds Choir, Cardiff. It's in Cardiff. I don't remember where.
Hey, are you gay and love to sing?
So you can come to that and see a lovely choir that I'm not currently in because it conflicts with my Yiddish classes.
And Cardiff Trans Singers will be singing that too.
Oh, are you? I didn't realize. Exciting.
Okay. Well, there we go. That's the end of the episode. I have been Sam Hickman. And you've been Kat Deerfield, and this has been
Women
talking
about Star Trek Voyager.
I decided I would follow you. Did it throw you off? Yes. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
All right, press the space bar. Let's get on with our lives.
They say in space no one can hear you scream. The star bleeds one hell of a place. But now we've come to the end of our show. Did you survive or will you die in disgrace?